Hello, friends, and welcome to episode number 284 of Bad Flips and Maple Dips. I'm Patrick, he's Justin. And, Justin, camp's almost over. There's only, like, 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks.
Less
it's
than
like
2 weeks.
Ten.
Yeah.
I think it's the 25th, it's all over. So there's 8 days left of seeing all the AAA and AA guys get their looks with the big club, and then it's all over. It's Jover.
Over but the crying, yep.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it kind of feels like the lineup is getting closer to being set. I mean, we know who's making this team, I think, at this point, but some interesting battles to finish off spring training. It'll be interesting to talk about it. Let's get right into the news. Before we get into that, if you like what we do at BFMD Podcast, that's our socials. You know how to find us at this point. Throw us in your Google machine, your Bing, your Ask Jeeves. Is Ask Jeeves still a thing?
No, it's been dead for some time now.
If I Google Ask Jeeves, will it not
come up? I believe Jeeves died, Patrick.
Ask Jeeves. Nope, it's still there. It's just called ask.com now. That's really sad.
Yep. Jeeves That's died. Really I'm telling you. It's over.
They used to be the good one. I used to use... actually, ever since I discovered Google back in like 2004 or whatever, 2005, I've been only using Google. Throw it in the Google machine, kids.
Yep.
You'll find us, BFMD Podcast. Let's talk about camp news, Justin. You're taking the lead on this, so fire away.
For sure. Dude. Yeah, well, it wouldn't be a Blue Jays season without a Danny Jansen hand injury, so here we are. It got out of the way early this year. Was hit by a pitch, as per usual, in a spring training game in the hand. Has a broken bone in there. The Jays are only saying it might only be a couple of weeks he's out this time, so I'll believe it when I see it kind of thing, but it is possible that Danny is back either to start the season or shortly into April. But yeah, crappy. In the meantime, AAA non-roster invite catcher Brian Servin seems to be the guy who will be this year's Tyler Heineman while Danny Jansen is hurt. I was surprised that Jays didn't do their annual Tyler Heineman signing when Jansen was injured, but Servin's actually having a good spring. He's got 3 home runs and 18 plate appearances, so showing a little bit of pop. He's got some MLB experience with the Colorado Rockies. He's played in 73 games, 228 plate appearances, and his batting stats aren't good. Don't look at them. But, I mean, he's going to be a backup catcher and probably play 1 day or 2 days out of 5 max.
Yeah.
Just a quick
note for you. Tyler Heineman is not currently available. He is signed to the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah. They have him and Reese McGuire, which is kind of funny. Anyway, that's the Danny Jansen news.
There's something that just slid across my desk. I have to bring it up right now.
Oh my God. Okay.
Literally less than 60 seconds ago, Joey Votto, in his first appearance with the Toronto Blue Jays, smoked a ball over the fence. Joey Votto is back. Top of the first against the Phillies.
Yeah. Cool. That's good. Like that.
Yeah.
I hope he has some competitive ABs and makes the Jays think about it.
I hope every at bat is a home run and then they have no choice. He makes this team.
He still bangs.
He's got it. I mean, the thing is, where does he fit into things?
Joey Votto still bangs, Patrick. We'll talk about that later in the episode.
He just smoked the ball. That ball's gone. 392 feet. Exit velocity, 103.5 miles an hour. Launch angle, 24 degrees. Joey Votto off of Zach Wheeler.
Good pitcher to hit off of.
Kaboom. I mean, he threw a fastball.
It was like the first pitch, too.
It was first pitch. It was dead center, and then Joey was like,
Major League Baseball hitters are going to hit a dead red fastball for a long way. But
yeah. Well, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. sad about Danny Jansen, but we'll talk about Brian Servant a little bit later in the episode.
Yes.
Let's just say having a good spring. We'll talk about it a little bit later.
The spring breakout game happened. The MLB is doing this year with teams' prospects, where they're doing prospect teams facing off against other teams' prospects. They're using, like, MLB pipeline, essentially, to determine who's in those games, I believe, and also who's healthy at the time. But the Jays played the Yankees, and it didn't go terribly well.
Okay.
The game score itself was not ideal for the Blue Jays, but, I mean, it doesn't matter. Got to see some guys play. Arjun Namala played, got a hit that should have been an error. And yeah, it was interesting.
Can I just say something about Namala? I think he's gonna surprise us.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, it's the first time we've really been exposed to him on actual television. We've seen highlights from, like, games in the complex and whatnot, but he's got a very unique swing. Oh, they did change it. It was changed to an error. So he did not get a hit technically, but the Jays were outscored 9-1 by the Yankees and outhit 12-3. They didn't make any errors in the field though, so that's good. but yeah, Adam Mako pitched, CJ Van Eyck pitched in that game. Kendry Rojas, who you brought up before we were chatting, young international signer for the Jays, apparently had some good velo. He pitched in that game. But yeah, the Jays did not do well on the scoreboard, but still, it was cool to see some of these guys get some action. The big club has been scoring a few more runs of late in spring training. They started off slow, and I mean, it's not that we care about spring training results, but it is good to see some guys bopping. Vladdy hit a piss missile into the schoolyard yesterday. Springer had a home run as well. He's had like two or three already this spring, so good to see him pulling the baseball as well. Bichette had a dinger. So, yeah, the big boys are starting to turn it up a little bit, which you love to see.
You think Vladdy's going to break the show curse?
I mean, he hasn't had good years 3 years in a row now, so maybe he just needs to be on the show. So, or 2 years in a row, I guess.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the more eyeballs that are on,
I mean,
that are on Vladdy is going to be the difference.
We'll see. But Kevin Gausman, Patrick, is trending in the right direction. He's been throwing bullpens and live BPs. He may end up missing one turn of the rotation, but his target is to be built up to around 70 pitches by opening week. And, I mean, if you're missing the first time through the season, that's not a big deal. We won't need Gausman to be healthy for 30 starts. And if you miss one or two at the beginning, is what it is. Make sure he's ramped up.
Don't get hurt.
Yeah, Alek Manoah is throwing on flat ground, has not thrown off a mound yet, says the shoulder is starting to feel better, and is doing a lot of conditioning work, rehab work on the shoulder behind the scenes, workouts, strengthening, recovery, etc. I mean, at this point, with, like you mentioned, like less than 2 weeks left, he's definitely not going to be ready for opening week. So it's looking like we'll for sure have Bowden Francis in the rotation, who we will talk about in upcoming season preview episodes. And Mitch White is the likely candidate who would fill in if Gausman would have to miss a turn as well. So both of those guys could end up being in the rotation to start the first turn through. Francis or White, whichever one is pitching better at the end of the spring training. Right now it's Francis, who had a great game his last time out, would be the likely candidate to continue on in Manoah's spot until he earns his way back to the big leagues. Prospect emotions, Aurelvis Martinez, Addison Barger, along with Yosefer Zulueta and Leo Jimenez, were all optioned to minor league camp this past week. No surprises there based on the guys who the Jays have brought in, like Justin Turner, Daniel Vogelbach still competing for a spot, Ernie Clement, Nathan Lucas having great springs. It was never likely that either any of these guys were going to make the team, but as some of the top prospects in the system, they got sent down quite early in camp, which means the Blue Jays are starting to narrow down their list of hopefuls, essentially, there. And again, we'll talk about a lot of prospects in AAA who could make an impact this year in one of our season preview episodes, so stay tuned for that.
I got a question for you, because I've been thinking about this.
Hope I have an answer. Obviously,
Gausman is going to be, like, he'll get 30 starts. But I just want to throw it out there for consideration. There are still starting pitchers that are free agents right now. That are correct. That are good. Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, still available. Blake Snell's asking price is still quite high. I just saw something there on the baseball subreddit saying that the Astros were interested, but his asking price was a bit high. And according to the article, it's from Talkin' Baseball, at Talkin' Baseball _ on Twitter. Blake Snell's told the Astros he's seeking at least a 2-year, $66 million deal with an opt-out after 2024.
Should have made it 69.
The Astros are intrigued, but are, quote, the latest. This is per Bob Nightingale. Astros are intrigued, but, quote, the latest team to balk at his asking price. So Snell still doesn't have a team.
It's pretty crazy. Reigning Cy Young Award winner cannot sign a contract.
Yeah, because his market value is $23 million, and he's asking for a $33 million contract. That's why.
Yeah, it's. I love how
the season might start.
We've been talking for the last couple of years about how baseball contracts are getting outrageously overpriced. I mean, Ohtani's deal looks big on the surface, but do all the deferred money, it's not. But I mean, yeah, like a lot of guys had to settle for short-term deals with opt-outs. Cody Bellinger had to do it. Matt Chapman had to do it. Like, it's looking like Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell are going to have to do it. And if Snell's only asking for 2 years now, I bet you there's probably an opt-out after the first season he's asking for as well.
Yeah, that was the case with some of the other stuff.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, it's crazy how we've gone from these big, like, Tatis deals, the Judge extension, the Rafael Devers extension last winter. Like, those were all massive deals, no deferred money, and now teams are starting to say, you know, wait, hold on, we can't give all this money up front anymore, and the players are having to make adjustments. And I think the teams have kind of wrestled back some of the more of the negotiating power than they had in previous years, and it's interesting to see kind of this balance shift back towards the teams versus the players. It's interesting to see anyway.
Jordan Montgomery, market value $18 million, still doesn't have a team.
Yeah.
Again, we are like 8 or 9 days away from
camp winding up. Yeah.
From camping over, and these guys don't have teams. They're not necessarily going to be ready. It's late. The hour is very late. The later this goes, though, it makes me think that all of them will be snatched up by the New York Yankees or the Boston Red Sox or the LA Dodgers just as, like,
I mean,
extras.
Speaking of the Yankees, I mean, Garrett Cole's likely going to miss 2 months.
Crazy.
No UCL tear, but there's something going on in his pitching elbow. They're going to try to not have surgery and just shut him down, rehab it. And he's hoping to pitch sometime in June. But, I mean, you go into the season with questions about your elbow. Never a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't wish anybody to get hurt. I hope that he's able to come back. But, I mean, it's just based on history. Having elbow issues in the spring and not just getting the surgery done now to be ready for next spring, it's an interesting call. And especially for a guy who's under contract already, like, he doesn't need to pitch this year, essentially. Like, it's a very interesting decision that they've made, and I don't understand why they've done it. So, yeah. Like, yeah. He's under contract through 2028. He does have a player opt-out after this season, but there'll still be 4 years and $144 million remaining. And I mean, I don't know that he'd opt out of a 36 annual value. So, 36 million.
Would anybody?
Annual value. I don't. If anybody, unless you're Shohei Ohtani, you shouldn't. But Ohtani doesn't have opt outs, so it's like, yeah, he's under contract for 4 more seasons, and by risking this season, it puts next season at risk too. Like, if he comes back in June, maybe he throws 4 or 5 starts and then blows his elbow out completely. He may miss the entire 2025 season. So, I don't know. It seems a little bit It's not selfish, because I don't think that he's doing it for selfish reasons. Obviously, he wants to pitch as much as possible this season. But if there's something going on that elbow, they need to address it like now, so that he can be ready to pitch healthily for the next 4 years. So
it's quite frustrating. I know this is neither here nor there, but it's quite frustrating how highly the Yankees are touted by Fangraphs. They're still projected to win 88 games according to their 2024 projected full season. And that's even if that's with Garrett Cole being out for 2 months. I don't understand the Jays peak at 85 fully healthy. I don't understand it. Like I don't understand if he misses 10 starts, you think they're going to win all 10 of those games? It doesn't compute to me. It doesn't make sense.
That's why I always tell you I don't like the projections.
Yeah, there are a lot of them. They think the Braves are going to win 97 games.
Yeah, like, good luck with that.
Okay. The rest of it's relatively reasonable. Like Astros 90 games, Yankees 88, Rays 86, Mariners 86. I'll take the under on that. Orioles 85, I'll take the over on that. Blue Jays 85 and 77. It's like in Twins 84, 78 winning the division.
I would
it's
take
like,
the under on the Twins personally. But.
Like Jesus Christ. I know it's early to be critical of projections and but oh my God.
So yeah, there's
it's stupid. Anyway, it wouldn't
be an episode without Patrick's annual or daily rant about the Yankees being favored by Fangraphs. So
they're so heavily favored.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, it's the New York media bias, whatever you can say. It's like the Toronto hockey bias, it's the New York baseball media bias. So let's talk about the bench battle, Patrick. There's not much left to discuss in terms of other parts of this team. We know the players in the rotation. It just comes down to who's going to be healthy to start the season. We know the guys who are going to be starting in position spots, whether as long as they stay healthy the next couple of weeks. We already know Danny Jansen likely will miss some time. If not, there might be a miracle, but it's very likely that he misses some of the season. And we know, I would say, the bullpen picture has taken shape, especially now that Bowden Francis and Mitch White will likely be starters to start the season. It's looking like the bullpen is going to take shape due to that fact as well too, but the bench still needs to be resolved. And we've got seven guys that we're going to discuss today who are effectively playing for really three spots, because there's obviously a backup catcher spot that will likely be Brian Servin to start the season, unless the Jays go out and sign somebody else or Jansen makes a recovery. So that would leave six players that we're going to discuss today competing for three spots. So there's a crowded room.
Servin is in my list.
I see him on your list, but I mean, I'm not really including him because if Danny Jansen's not healthy, he's going to be there, right? So
yeah.
Because they need two catchers. And I mean, Dalton Varsho and IKF both have catching experience, but the Jays will do everything in their power to avoid using either of those players in that position.
Yeah, so they won't.
So they won't, yeah. Varsho, for what it's worth, took some... He was catching a bullpen one day and kind of caught Keegan Mathison, friend of the show, by surprise when he asked Keegan how he looked, and Keegan realized who it was. So I don't think that Varsho will get any really too much catching time this spring in games. He won't get any, but I mean, it's interesting the Jays are at least getting him some bullpen reps essentially there, just to keep him a little sharp. He was drafted as a catcher, so I mean, it would come back to him quickly. But let's talk about these seven guys here, Patrick, who will be battling for bench at bats.
Let's have a fireside chat here. Let's have everybody gather around.
Everybody gather at the campfire. We're going to sing some songs.
We're going to have a fireside chat here about Ernie Clement. Okay, this was a guy who he has no options left, which means he either makes his team or he gets
somebody else will take him
or whatever. Yeah, somebody else will have to take him.
He'll be a major leaguer somewhere else.
Spring has gone very well for Ernie Clement so far. Before the start of today's games, and he did fly out in his first at bat here. He was 12 for 32 with 4 runs, 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, 1 stolen base, slash line of 375 average, 394 OBP, 1,019 OPS. This is exactly what he needed to do to earn his spot. Yeah, it's incredible. It's a great, that's a great spring. That's better than like 65% of the Jays right now. Like yep. it's there's a lot of guys with high OPSs right now because they're having great springs. Kirk is one of them, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll talk about that in our preview episode down the road, but we're talking about Ernie Clement right now. Let's get real. Everybody get real close right now. Okay. Ernie Clement, will make this team. This is my prediction. Not only will he make this team, but he will be an important bench figure. He plays second and third. And third, of course, is one of the weak spots of the Jays this year, where they're trying to, you know, create some sort of aggregate player out of like 5 players combined. I like Ernie Clement. He's fast. He's a good fielder. And he's starting to demonstrate real competency at the plate, at least from what we've seen. I know it's 30 at-bats. I'm not here to poop my pants over 12 for 32. It's not that. It's that we're starting to see, I think, what he might be capable of. And I want him to get real plate appearances this year. I want to see what he can do. He's likely to be a late-inning replacement level player for a good chunk of the year unless someone gets hurt, but he's done everything he could possibly do in spring training to prove he belongs with the team.
Yep.
Thoughts? Rebuttal?
No, I'm not gonna argue against it. I've also been all over our Twitter saying yes, Ernie Clement needs to be on this team. He has earned it. He has outplayed Santiago Espinal. He has the exact same positional versatility as Espinal, and there's no reason for the Jays to not take the best players or the guys who are playing the best for their bench. We've seen it in the past. I talked about it on our last episode. There's no room on this team for Derek Fishers. There's no room on this team for guys who are out of options and aren't playing well. Ernie Clement is out of options and is playing incredibly well. He deserves to have a chance. Another guy who is also playing well as Nathan Lucas. Like, there's some guys who you basically got to say you got to take the hot hand to start the season. If there's somebody who's playing well and they may be able to contribute for you, even if they fall flat on their face after 2 weeks of good baseball, it's still worth having them there because, I mean, yeah, say Ernie Clement comes in, hits well for the first 2 weeks of the year and then does nothing, you can DFA him and bring up Espinal. Like, it literally costs you nothing to send Espinal to the minors. It might not make Espinal super happy, but I think a professional athlete would understand that he got outplayed and has been getting outplayed.
He has been outplayed.
And it's not that Espinal is having a bad spring. He's actually having a very good spring, but he's not having an elite spring that Ernie Clement is having.
You got to go with the hot hand here. Speaking of Nathan Lucas, another hot hand, another OPS over 1,000. Ernie Clement is 13 for 30 with 6 runs scored. No home runs, but 5 RBIs and a stolen base. A 4.33 average, which is excellent, exactly what he needed to do. A 4.71 OBP and a 1,071 OPS. I mean,
yeah,
standing ovation for that type of
what more does Lucas have to do, really, to be
nothing.
That fourth outfielder?
That's it. Yeah. He's made the team. He is the fourth outfielder. I know we have guys who have flexibility in what positions they can play, but Nathan Lucas has outperformed everybody else.
Yeah, remember when we were talking about how the Jays needed left-handed outfielders? Now they have 3 out of 4.
Yeah, left-handed. And the thing with Nathan Lucas is
and
he's had a great
Biggio.
Lucas has had a great spring training. Again, we're gonna ride the hot hand. We are predicting he's gonna make this team. Worth noting, though, he does still have 2 MLB options, unlike Clement, so he has flexibility. So if for whatever reason somebody makes the call and says, nah, he's not making the team, he still has options.
Yeah.
He's 29 years old, so I mean he's gonna turn 30 in the middle of the season, so he's gonna be a bit old for AAA, but this is it. This is his year to be like the John Birdie, right? Where it's like an older guy,
mm-hmm.
taking a while to develop, make a team, make a difference. John Birdie has made a difference in Miami when he was there.
Yep.
And he's still, I think he's still in Miami, is he not? I believe
so, yeah.
John Birdie? Yeah. Casually hitting .294 last year in 133 games. I mean, no power, no slug, but I mean, still, like, yeah, sign me up for that. I'll take that. He's a 2-F4 player 2 years in a row. Yeah. I'm not saying that that's what Nathan Lukas is. I'm saying, you know, these older guys that take a little bit longer to marinate or they don't get their shot right away. Nathan Lukas has tons of baseball experience. He's been to AAA for 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Well, this would be his fifth year. I'm more than happy for him to get his shot on this team. It's not like, I mean, sure, there might be free agents out there who have a more proven pedigree or whatever, but this is our guy. He's been internal with the organization now since 2022. Great in AAA last year. Great in AAA the year before. I'll take it. I don't think he hits 192 the same way he did last year, where he really struggled, right? Exactly. He only played 29 games last year. 31 PAs and hit 192. That's tough. He gets hot right off the bat. He ain't going anywhere, even with options. I just think these first two guys I'm really excited about. I actually feel better about this team now, knowing that our bench is a little bit stronger than what I thought. Or at least they're hot right now.
Yeah, they're hitting well right now, yeah.
I'll take it. Let's talk about Dan Vogelbach.
Yes. So this is also the most experienced guy in this battle from MLB. Experience perspective, guy with over 1500 career at bats, 80 home runs in his career. But I mean, he's not having the best spring. He's never gonna hit for average, let's put it that way. He's batting well below 200, but he's got a couple of home runs out of four hits, plays first base. Fangraphs does not have him projected to make the roster right now. And I think a big part of that is because the Blue Jays have two other players in Justin Turner and Kevin Biggio who can also play first base behind Vladdy. And Turner's going to take up a majority of time at the DH spot. So there's not much room for Vogelbach in this current mix. So yeah, definitely for me, he's on the outside looking in. Obviously, he could go and hit home runs in his next three at-bats, and maybe we talk about a different situation. You know what you're going to get with him, a guy who can mash right-handed pitching, but that's it. He'd always just be a late innings type of player. And I mean, the Jays need more from their bench than just a guy who's going to come in and pinch hit and then not play defensively. So I don't see too much room for him. He doesn't have the flexibility that this management and coaching staff seems to like. So I think he's definitely outside looking in.
Yeah, I think that's a very reasonable take. I agree with you. I think Vogelbach was great. He got an invite. I think he is very well liked amongst the Toronto Blue Jays teammates.
Yep.
I think they're happy to have him back, happy to have him in the mix. I don't see how he makes this team. Yeah, there's not much else to say. This is basically his audition, right? For other teams.
Yeah.
They gave him a roster spot or whatever however you want to call it. Non-roster
invite, yeah.
A roster invite. I mean, I like him. There's no space for him.
No, there's no space.
After they signed Joey Votto, I don't see the fit.
Especially knowing that Votto has said, like, you know what, like, I'm going to work my way to the big leagues through the minors if need be. Like, Joey is not expecting to break camp with the team. Whereas Vogelbach is likely in a position where he wants a major league deal and could maybe still get one elsewhere. So I think if the Jays do not add him to the 40-man, he will be a guy who would elect for free agency. So
just another added note. I just wanted to add this in. Votto is out of the game. He had his home run, and he was out. He was out there bottom of the, I think he was in the lineup all the way up to bottom of the second, and it was replaced by Glenn Santiago at first base. I don't think it necessarily means there's an injury. I'm just letting you know. Votto, he came, he banged, and then he left. So there you go. Great first appearance for Votto. Vogelbach probably not making this team. Let's talk about Babe Schneider. This is a guy who had an excellent, quote, rookie season or rookie appearance last year. Definitely wildly overperformed. And now is having an okay spring. The average isn't really there. He's basically at the Mendoza line. But he has two home runs. And he scored six times with three RBIs. So, are you investing in Davis Schneider stocks, or is that going down?
I'm holding right now my stocks that I purchased last year.
All right.
And I think that I love Davis Schneider's potential as a guy who's got that sneaky power. He's not a big dude, but he can hit dingers. He's got some positional flexibility. Okay. We just talked about that already. He can play second, he can play third, he can play a little bit of left field. The Jays have been using him out there. So again, they're making him into like the right-handed Kevin Biggio essentially, which is not a bad thing to be.
No.
The thing about David Schneider is that he has some very noticeable holes in his swing, and I think other teams have identified those.
Okay.
They're able to go up and in on him. They're kind of able to bust him up and get him to chase a little bit as well. He chases outside a lot, I've noticed in the few games that I've watched this spring. And I think that is a concern that the Jays are probably working on with him behind the scenes. I still think that he'll break camp with the team because of the ability that he can play left field and be a right-handed bat on days where the Jays are playing against a left-handed starter.
Okay.
But I don't see him playing a ton unless he gets hot or Kiermaier or Varsho or Springer gets injured, you know? He's going to be a, I think he's, him and Clement, I kind of see being similar roles on the bench. Obviously, they play similar positions with Clement being infield, outfield as well. So, I mean, you've got a couple of right-handed guys there who are both flexible. One of them's got more power in Schneider, and one of them's got a little bit more average in Clement. So, I mean, you kind of have different roles there. But I don't know. I see him breaking camp with the team. But I would not be surprised if he struggles and is moved back to Buffalo to work on a few things. Should, say, Espinal get hot down there, you know? Like, again, I don't view this bench as the entire 162 bench. I view it as who can the Jays take with them to start the season that will help them win more games? And I think that Schneider is in that crowd right now, the win more games crowd at the moment. I think the upside of him is still in the win more games now category.
You kind of sold me on it, but I'm still...
It's between him and Espinal right now. And I mean,
okay,
if Espinal played outfield too and had a bit more power, I think he'd win this job, but I think the Jays are more interested in the Ernie Clement versus Espinal battle than the Espinal versus Schneider battle. They're kind of two different. Espinal and Clement are more similar profile, low power, high average type bat with a good glove, whereas Schneider is the power potential that the rest of the bench currently doesn't have. Like, I mean, you look at the 2024 projections. And then Fangraphs has Schneider projected to hit 11 home runs and 300 plate appearances. The other guys combined in about 300 plate appearances are combined to hit four with Servin, Clement, and Lucas. So it's like you need some pop on your bench. And I mean, once Jansen comes back, that lengthens the power a bit. Obviously, Danny bombs, but you need some pop on your bench. And if it's not Vogelbach, I guess it has to be Schneider.
Okay. Okay.
That's my thinking, anyway.
Okay, Nope.
I'm rationalizing it to myself.
Santiago Espinal, you just touched on him. He's hitting 231 in the spring. Yeah, I'm including today's performance. Still a 740 OPS in 27 at bats. My apologies. If Clement makes his team, I don't see how Santiago Espinal makes the team.
Yeah, is there room for two of the same guy?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
No, it's like you said, you got to go with the guy who's hotter.
Yeah, unless they're both Vladdy, then there'd be room for two of them. But we're talking about the bench here, so.
Yeah. It sucks because Espinal had such a good start to his career, and then.
Yeah, last season was a dumper for a lot of Blue Jays, though.
It was a big dumper. Yeah, I don't know what to say.
I'm personally choosing to believe that last season was the outlier for a lot of players.
And
I'm
hoping.
I'm hoping I can lump Espinal into that crowd. That's the goal, anyway.
Yeah, I see it, but then at the same time. There's not a lot of runway for a guy who's 29 and makes $2.5 million to be like a bench player because he's not a hefty bat and his defense went in the toilet last year. It was a really tough year. He deserves the chance, I think, to bounce back, but it's like you said, Ernie Clement has outplayed him. Do you need two guys who play second and third? One guy whose OPS is like 1,000 points lower, or not 1,000, sorry, 400 points lower.
Yeah, you don't.
Or 300 points lower, whatever. Like, what? Like, you go with the hot hand. And I think it's Ernie Clement. So, Santiago Espinal does have options. So, yeah. It could be that or a trade. True. I don't know what you get for Espinal, though.
Yeah, minor leaguer flyer, top 30 prospect flyer kind of thing. I don't know.
I don't know
if he's even worth that anymore, but it's interesting. I mean, you've still got another handful of games left for these guys to make something potentially happen.
He'd have to hit like 3 home runs.
He'd have to play really well. I don't know if he has to hit home runs, but he's got to just keep hitting. I mean, Espinal's having a good spring. Like he's hitting.
I don't know.
OPS is 766, that's fine for me.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, he's supposed to be a contact hitter, man. He's like, that's his game.
I know.
If he's not making contact, he's doing nothing because he doesn't draw walks.
Yeah.
So if he's hitting 240 and doesn't draw walks, I mean,
he has been this spring, but I mean, it's limited time. So, I mean, you take one walk every 10 at bats, it makes you look good. So
I don't see it.
Yeah, it's really tough. The outside looking in for sure. And I mean, based on our Vogelbach conversation, we know Spencer Horwitz is not making this team either. And he hasn't played well this spring. So, I mean, that's a pretty easy conversation. His OPS is below 460 in 29 at-bats. He's had been given plenty of opportunity, just like Espinal, Schneider, Clement, to play quite a bit. But the Justin Turner signing was kind of the nail in the Horwitz breaking camp coffin. He'll be a guy who goes back to Buffalo and is the first guy up should Turner or Vladdy or even Cavan, for example, get injured. Because the Jays do need somebody to play backup first base or a couple of options. And right now it's Turner and Biggio, obviously, as those options. And if Turner's DHing, they won't lose their DH to put him at first base, so Biggio will have to come in and play first base.
Let's bounce around a bit. Let's talk about Spencer Horwitz and his spring so far. He's 4-for-29.
Not great.
No home runs, no stolen bases, 7 runs scored, so he's scoring every time he gets onto base.
Yeah, I mean, but compared to his batting average, the on-base numbers are still good. Like, he's still... he's got a good eye for the zone. Like, his walk rate is still really high, 17%. So
he's not hitting the ball. He's not having a good spring.
His BABIP is 182. So
he's locked to go to AAA.
Yeah.
Locked. There's no way he makes this team. There's no path anymore.
Ain't no way.
If he
way.
Was hitting like maybe 300 points higher in his batting average, then yeah, he would. But he's not. He's having a bad spring, so he wasn't able to sort of recapture that, you know, the bit of luck that he did have when he was called up last year. So he'll be in AAA along with Votto, most likely. That's another thing. I don't want to spend too much time talking about Horowitz or Votto because they're not making this team. But where Joey Votto arrived, banged, and left today, I'm curious as to whether or not him leaving the game is more about...
I mean, Keegan's tweet says they're just easing him in. Nobody's said anything about any injuries yet, but...
Yeah. I mean, he's 40, so I mean, I guess it makes sense. There's still time. He'll probably play every game that he possibly can in the spring from here on out. Or at least start it, or appear in it, whatever you want to call it. But he's going to be... If he's serious, then yeah, AAA. For Votto, for sure. I mean, it is impressive as hell that he came in and banged one out nearly 400 feet on one pitch.
Yeah.
Like, what else does the man have to do? Maybe do that 20 more times during the next
probably.
Games? I don't know. But, like, yeah, I'm color me impressed. I'm very pleased with that. I don't think he makes the team, but... You know, anything could happen between now and opening day, right? Could be injuries, could be... Who knows? Maybe he's got that old man strength now.
It's definitely possible.
Last guy we'll talk about, Brian Servin. The former... I think he's former Colorado Rocky, isn't he?
Rocky... I don't... Actually, that's a great question. Let me pull him up.
Anyway, he's had the best spring out of any of the catchers. 5 for 16 with 5 runs scored, 3 home runs on 5 hits, 12 RBIs, 313 average, 389 OBP, 1,389 OPS. Really, really impressive spring. He will be the backup to Kirk to start the year. Danny Jansen probably shows up mid-April, he'll be fine. He'll be back at the latest. He won't be ready for opening day.
Unlikely, yeah.
But that's not too bad. Not too bad. 2 weeks of Brian Servin as the backup catcher. Kirk will be busy. And Kirk's had a decent spring, so... Yeah, he's the new Tyler Heineman, I guess. I don't know if Servin has options or not. I forgot to look that part up when I was doing my research. But really happy with having him as the backup. Obviously, we love Danny Jansen on this podcast. We want him back banging as soon as possible. But his hand is broken for the third time.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, Servin, by the way, yeah, he was a Colorado draft pick. Has about 228 plate appearances as a big leaguer, and the offensive stats aren't good. Brian Servin, he is currently 28. His birthday is May the 5th.
Revenge of the 5th.
Yep. 5-5 at 95.
I don't think we could ask for, you know, better backup option at this point. Like, of all the backup catchers that the Jays have had the last 10 years. None of them, backup. I'm talking about third string. I mean, Tyler Heineman was serviceable. I'm curious to see what this guy does. Brian Servin. So,
yeah, it's
good for him. He'll make the team, and then he's got options, right? He'll be...
He does, yes.
Yeah, so we'll see you in AAA after Danny Jansen is back, but... I'm actually, after having this conversation, I feel less concerned about the bench.
Yeah, I mean, there are some players who are obviously playing well this spring that makes us feel a bit more confident. The bench was definitely a huge question mark coming into this, especially because of the offense being a question mark in itself. the bench by extension was lumped in there. But I mean, obviously, if the Jays need to go with the hot hand guys this year and care a little bit less about, so let's say Ernie Clement just has an absolute dumpster fire of an April, like, you don't have to hold on to him. He's never stuck with a big league team for a reason. He hasn't played well in the past, well enough to stick around. So, I mean, you hope that he does, because you'd like to win a bunch of games. And if he does play well, then hopefully he helps you do that. But, I mean, at the same time, you can't worry about it.
Yeah, he has earned the opportunity.
Correct.
For sure. And yeah. Him not having any options makes it an easier decision for him to start with the year. Mm-hmm. But if, yeah, obviously, if he is not able to follow through, he won't stick around for very long.
Very, very true.
But that's fine. He earned this opportunity, and now he's going to get it. And then, yeah, if he struggles, then, yeah, Santiago Espinal comes up.
Easy as that.
And if Ernie Clement plays really well, then maybe Santiago Espinal gets traded. I don't know, man. I'm not as worried about the bench. I'm more like what about Dalton Varsho? What about Alejandro Kirk? Like, we need these guys to
You're thinking deliver. Bigger picture, yeah.
It's making me nervous. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's all I have. Do you have anything?
I have nothing else to add. I think we've kind of covered as much as we really can today. There's, like we said, there's still a couple of weeks or 10 days left of games or something like that, 8 days left of spring training. So there is still time for this picture to become clearer or to become even more muddled. But we'll see, I guess. I mean, just to tee it up for everybody listening, and we're going to come to you with a series of season preview episodes. We'll try and break it up into some bite-sized pieces. That way it's easier for us to not only record, but for everybody to listen to as well. We don't want to just release 5 hours of content in one, so we'll try to break it up into a few different episodes just to make it a bit more manageable. But that'll be it for us today. If you like what we do, follow us online anywhere at BFMB Podcast. You listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts. For Patrick out in Halifax, I am Justin in Saskatoon, and we'll talk to you very soon.